grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 16th chapter of St. John, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." At the end of this divine service, we're going to sing a somewhat unfamiliar but beautiful hymn to the Holy Spirit, because the Gospel just read directs our thoughts to the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and in so doing, also directs our thoughts to the coming festival of Pentecost, just 3 weeks from today. The word Pentecost means 50th, and it was on the 50th day after his resurrection, the 10th day after his ascension, that the ascended Lord sent down the Holy Spirit on his disciples as he had promised. More years ago than I care to remember, I heard a sermon about the Holy Spirit, and the title of the sermon was "The Unappreciated Person of the Holy Trinity." Not a very upbeat title for a sermon, but one that points to the fact that some Christians are like the people St. Paul found when he arrived in the city of Ephesus. When Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed?" they answered, "No, we've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Well, you and I have, of course, heard about the Holy Spirit. And we do indeed believe in the Holy Spirit, as we just said in the Creed. But there is a hidden and elusive quality about the Holy Spirit which makes it somewhat hard for us to picture or speak of him. The very word Spirit literally means wind or breath, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, who'd come to see him under cover of darkness. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." In a sense, the Holy Spirit can be compared to the air we breathe. For like the air, the Holy Spirit is the source of life. No breath, no life. But just as we can't see the air, just so the Holy Spirit remains invisible. And the reason for this is that the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal to us himself, but the face of Christ. As the Lord Jesus says in the Gospel read on this day, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak of himself, for he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." And so the Holy Spirit shows us not himself, but Christ, and therein lies the reason, the hiddenness, the elusiveness of the Holy Spirit. He points not to himself, but to Christ. Forgetfulness of this truth has caused a lot of trouble and confusion in the church's life down to this very day. When so much that is novel, and yes, just plain weird, is claimed to be the evident working of the Holy Spirit, when in reality, it's nothing but the manifestation of another spirit altogether. The spirit of the age, what the Germans call the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the time we live in, the ideas that have become popular, the opinions that are, so to speak, in the air, even though many of these ideas and opinions flatly contradict the words of Christ, which the Holy Spirit caused the authors of Holy Scripture to record for our learning. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit cannot contradict himself, saying one thing, as recorded in Holy Scripture, and then something contradictory in our own day. And so when people claim, as they do, that some novel teaching or practice is the work of the Holy Spirit, we can test that claim by Jesus' words, as Jesus said, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus spoke these words to his 12 apostles on the night before he suffered. And it is in the apostles' teaching that these words of Jesus find their fulfillment. In the apostles' teaching, of which the New Testament scriptures are the written deposit. For there the Holy Spirit takes what is Christ and shows it to us. The Holy Spirit doesn't say one thing in one age and contradictory things in another. There is instead an inner consistency, a most wonderful unity in the Spirit's witness. He always brings to mind the words and the deeds of the Savior. That is the Holy Spirit's work, to show us Christ, to bring us to Christ, and to bring Christ to us. And the Holy Spirit has in fact done that for each one of us. He has shown us the radiant face of the Savior, who is the very image of the Father's heart of love. And so if you know in your heart that the Lord Jesus is your Savior, that's the Holy Spirit's work. For St. Paul writes, "No one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul also writes, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. This is the Holy Spirit's work in your heart and in mine, as Jesus says. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me, for he will take what is mine and show it to you. And so in this divine service, the Holy Spirit takes the altar of this church and shows us Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. He takes the bread of the sacrament and shows us the body of Christ, so that prompted by the Holy Spirit, we may offer to Jesus present in the sacrament that most profoundly Christian prayer. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Grant us thy peace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.